As a quarterback, I love sports. But sometimes when I get hit on my blind side, front side, and put on my backside, I wonder, is Sport Clips better than sports? Because Sport Clips haircuts is sports on TV, plus a relaxing haircut, hot steam towel, and massaging shampoo, which is better than sports plus Sport Clips. It's a game changer. Check in online at sportclips.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Pattison back again with another great episode of Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. And this week, I continue to have rock star guest on the pod like I do today. We'll get to her in just a minute. I also want to remind everybody to go over to my website, www.markpattisonnfl.com. And again, you can give this show a ratings and review through iTunes. There's a little button that says iTunes, and go over there. It's not about popularity for me. It's about inspiring others like my guest today. Also, I've got Amelia's Everest, which is my work I do with the National Epilepsy Foundation. We continue to fundraise. Amelia's Everest now has raised over $29,000. Very proud of that fact. And it's for a great cause, and certainly the ultimate goal is to help my daughter, Amelia, who does have epilepsy. And so that's been a battle. And then, of course, if you want to continue to find out what's going on with me, there's a blog called Everest Blog, go figure. And you can hear about my adventures upcoming. I'm planning to go and climb Mount Whitney. I've already done that mountain with a few people. And then go try to climb the highest mountain in Montana. And then try to climb the highest mountain in Utah before going up to Mount Everest in 2020. Okay, on that note, let's jump into the pod today. So I want to welcome to the pod Megan Buchanan. Megan, how are you doing?
I am doing really well, considering that there is a zombie apocalypse out there.
But no, yeah. So we are sitting here today. It's April 21st. And as we both know, this pod will run in several weeks from now. So we can only talk about what we know today. And what we know today, there's a global pandemic going around the world. It affected you and I, and how I found you through, I think, the power and the magic of Facebook and social. We've all had to really anchor in and stay home. Everybody knows about that. And I think we're starting to emerge out of that and come up with some really creative ways on not only doing your work, if assuming that you haven't been furloughed or anything, but also about from working out and the other things that you do. And I just want to tie that we're going to get into a lot of your story, and to me it's really fascinating. But how I first connected in with you is that we were both supposed to be at Mount Everest base camp as we speak right yep. now. We were both supposed to leave around the end of March, and we find ourselves now sitting here, both of us in Southern California. We're only about 2 miles away from each other, and we're talking through a Zoom invite. So anyways, how are you doing? We've already gone through that, but I just wanted to set that up. And I guess the first question for you is, you know, were you super disappointed? Was that just a big, you know, pop in the balloon? You know, I'm sure you were working out like an animal, just trying to prepare yourself for that moment. And then we got the news that Everest got shut down.
Well, you know how, I mean, you literally, as you, when you're training so hard for it and really feel like you're ready, you look back and you realize it's been a lifetime of training, like mentally, emotionally, then there's the physical. And, you know, when Nepal made the answer, I literally got my down suit like that night. And then I heard that Nepal had shut everything down. I literally felt like I was wearing my wedding dress and my wedding just got canceled. Yeah. but I tell you what, part of the reason I'm doing this, and a part of grit, is I have been through long duration challenges and made it through. And I know what that is. My turnaround time, I'm not gonna lie, I was pretty upset that Friday. I was sad. I went day drinking with some friends in Laguna. Yeah. Made it a little better. But Saturday morning, I'm very good at realizing what you can and you cannot change. And this was something I absolutely knew that I wasn't gonna be able to talk my way around it or through it, and I could not change it. So I woke up Saturday morning and I'm like, all right, let's make plan B. So yeah, it's disappointing, but everything happened so fast with the pandemic and the lockdowns, any sadness I was feeling was completely run over by so much worse for so many others. And so how I'm doing, I feel so grateful to have a job that allows me to work from home right now. I'm so grateful to be in this country and us not be stuck in Nepal where they could not take care of us if we were there. I'm feeling extremely grateful today.
Yeah, you know, I think that matches with your whole motto called grit, and which is really represents growth, gratitude, resilience, integrity, and tenacity. And I love those acronyms for those words because they're all very powerful and they kind of reflect again, you are what you are. And, you know, you're kind of walking, talking exactly what that represents in terms of having gratitude that you are fortunate to have a job, that you are fortunate to remain here in the United States. I was also going through that same emotion. I didn't go out day drinking, you know, on that particular Friday, but you know, I was let down. I mean, I'd put a whole mm-hmm. lot into it as well. And at the end of the day, you know, it's just like, oh, man. And then I quickly started to like reposition all those things in my mind about, you know, how do I go forward with this? And almost immediately it was just like, this is now, it's not a cancellation, it's a postponement, and we're going to make it happen in 2021. And then I got together with my guide, Gary Madison, and we started pushing. And so now that kind of goes into that next word after gratitude, which is resilience, right? Yeah. And going back on some of the things that you've had to deal with over your life, not only on you know, the mountain being closed down and surviving this pandemic, but also some of the things that earlier in your life, you know, through having dyslexia and overcoming that, and literally becoming a rocket scientist. I've never dealt with anybody. You're amazing. You know, you're an aerospace engineer. You're a venture athlete. You're a speaker. You're basically Superwoman. You know, how you had to be resilient while having your integrity to get where you are today.
That is a great question. And, you know, in the dyslexia as a child, I think really built my foundation of who I am in the core of having that resilience and to be in the perseverance to push through things. As a little kid, we discovered I was dyslexic because I actually had a second grade teacher who did not like me. He was not a good man. And he would yell at me in front of the class. That's when you're starting to spell. I actually started reading when I was three. I started programming a computer when I was five, but I couldn't spell. I started having a lot of problems. He would chastise me in front of the class, call me an idiot, call me retarded, yell at me to the point where I refused to read. My parents picked up on this quickly and they knew that I was intelligent, so they sought help. And it turns out, we're so sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Buchanan, your daughter's dyslexic. And it was literally, of course, I'm sure it happened over some time, but what my memory is my mom looking at me and saying, you don't believe anyone else. You're just going to have to work hard for everything that you want. And we start right now. And it was really the foundation then of my parents never letting me use it as an excuse and just to fight harder for what I wanted. And so I think it just became a way of life for me to push through. And it's hard as a kid when you know you're smart, but it's not reflected in your writing. It's not reflected in your spelling and you're labeled. And going through high school, I'm also quite bubbly, as you can tell. And, you know, I'm cheerleading and all sorts of things. But I remember I was top 10 in my class in high school and I wanted to be an aerospace engineer. And I remember my counselors at the time telling me, oh, honey, you could marry well, or you should go into communications. And I'm like, I took the highest math class in my junior, like, what? I don't, forget you guys, I'm doing this. And so, you know, again, just a lifetime. And then being a woman in engineering, I mean, there's so many stories with that as well.
Breaking through the barriers, right?
Yeah. And the stereotypes and which are still there today, which blows my mind. And that is one reason why, I mean, I really started building grit because I realized what those tools are that help me take on any challenge. I don't care what it is. And there are times where I'll be like, wow, I think I bit off a lot there, but I know I can get through it. And I know that I had such support from my parents growing up, and I wanted to put that together to help give other people. And so that's kind of where grit came from in the beginning.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it's a little bit, you know, when we start talking about giving back and paying it forward, and when you've gone through a lot of tough times and then you found your way out, and it's really the gift that you can give. I was talking on another podcast yesterday about Tim McGraw's got a great song about called Humble and Kind. And, you know, it's if you get where you're going, make sure you turn around and help the next person in line. Always remain humble and kind. And it's really what that's about, you know, especially when you go through a lot of adversity of people trying to bully you around the block or not making you feel smart or trying to dumb you down or make you small. And yeah. It's just the opposite of what you have to be. And for anybody, it doesn't matter what color you are or if you're a male or a female, it's just, I don't know what that is with some other people where they really try to make you small and not really allow you to be the best that you can be. And then you got to have that mental fortitude to like break through those barriers and like, you know what, whatever you're saying is just noise. I don't want to hear it because I'm going to go do what I got to do and live with it. Right.
We've all dealt with that in some way. And the people that, I think the people that have a problem with others is because, again, they're struggling themselves. And that's just engineering. I go now and I speak to women's groups, especially in tech. And one thing I talk about a lot is, you know, stop tearing each other down. And this applies to anyone and everyone, but specifically I talk about women in tech too, because there still are so few in STEM. And I always tell them, I'm like, stop tearing each other down. It's hard enough out there. There is always, and this goes anyone, there will always be someone prettier, funnier, smarter, faster, you know, whatever it is, there'll always be someone. Have those people surround you, help lift those people, work together. I think people are so afraid of losing control over their little bubble that they have to just trounce on other people. And we've all experienced that as kids. And I luckily, again, had such amazing voices of reason and strength in my ear of my mother and my father. And again, I'm so grateful for that. That is what I want to help really give other people is, and then you, and teach them to become that voice for yourself. Because that's definitely what you have to do as you become an adult. Is you've got to be able to, well, I'm not going to lie, sometimes I call my mom still, but you've got to become that voice for yourself until you kind of fake it till you make it. You keep telling yourself until you truly connect with it yourself and you live it.
Yeah, I think along those lines too, I think there's this whole notion about aligning yourself with the right people to get you to those spots too and have positivity. I know you're a positive person. John Wooden had this great quote about, you know, if you want to improve yourself, improve the five friends around you and constantly reevaluate. That doesn't mean you dump your friends. That just means go find people that can lift you up. And you should be, I'm not going to call it the dumbest person in the group, but, you know, the other people should be stretching you in different ways that you haven't gone before. And that's really what creates the lift. But it has to be that mutual and common goal of achievement and going in a whole different direction and where you want to go, not pushing you down to nothing.
Isn't that crazy? Because so many the people forget about that in their career and daily life. When you're on the mountain, you're mountain biking or you're hiking or you're doing an expedition, you're so open to learning from the people better than you. You want to ride with the people better than you, but somehow human beings forget that in their career and personal life, but they accept it on the mountain.
That's really true. And speaking of that, we'll do a little crossover here. So again, I want to go back and I mentioned about my connection with you was I saw that you're going to be on Everest and Everest becomes a small community. And you and I were both going to be on the south side. And so it just was interesting. I always find it interesting when a woman is deciding to take on Mount Everest or any of these mountains because they're intense, they're uncomfortable. And not to stereotype, but generally speaking, there's for every 10 guys, 20 guys that are up there, there might be one girl. And so the question is, you know, what's that drive behind that person? And so I'll ask you, you've got this big goal out there, similar to mine, to climb the seven summits and eventually go on to the Grand Slam, which is skiing to the North and South Pole. And you know, that has to come from somewhere, because that is such a, and I'm literally, I'm talking from experience, because yeah. I've gone to do this, and I've got my own story, and my story is of adversity. And through that adversity, you know, putting out a big goal, a stretch to kind of land me where I am today, you know, 6 of the 7, and I've done a couple of these twice. For you, where did the whole genesis of this idea come from?
Great question. You're like, what is the fire in your belly?
And that's, I'm glad that you use that word, because I think that is the word that you need to have, or that is the descriptor, because it's too hard. It's too nasty. It's too cold. It's too.
Yeah.
You know, and you fill in the word to not have that fire, because there's just so many things you have to overcome and obstacles and everything else en route to climbing all these different mountains.
Yes. And so, I mean, of course, we all have such a long story. I'm going to try to cliff notes this. So I started hiking outdoors when I was 8 with my father. And my father was my best friend. He was a brilliant engineer, loved the outdoors. That's where I learned a lot of it from. And we spent a lot of our time. That was his and my thing. And we actually, the first time I did Kilimanjaro long ago, I think it was like 29, did it with him. And it was such an amazing, amazing experience. And my father had a accident and passed away about 3 years after that. And that forever will be such a memory. And I lost a lot when I lost him. And that's when I kind of started really looking more into, I'm going to keep this going for us. Because we had talked about, I had done Everest Base Camp before, and he wanted to do it with me. And so I picked things back up, and I decided to keep going. And, but in there, I was living in Vail, and I had a horrendous life-changing snowboard accident, and, hauling ass, in a back bowl behind a girl, a friend of mine who's ex-US ski team. So we're going pretty fast. And there was so much powder. I hit a downed tree under the powder dead on, and literally decapitated my femur bone. Popped the head off, shot up the side, spiral fractured it down, muscles ripped out. So internally just bleeding. And they couldn't find us. Horrendous rescue. The ski patrolman said in 20 years, it was the worst accident he's seen where the person lived. Emergency surgery. I woke up to a 14-inch titanium rod down the middle of my femur and pretty much told, you will be in a wheelchair or a cane the rest of your life. You know, mountain biking, skiing, snowshoeing, running. It's done. We're sorry. And at that point, I think I was like 35, 36. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And so that's when that challenge started. And I took that one on right away. Like, sorry, that's not going to be my life. And it was a tremendous struggle. I had to change careers. I had to leave my job at Lockheed Martin, which I loved. Ended a relationship that I thought was the one. It changed a lot. And I had to dig deeper in myself than I ever have to keep positive. I was in 24/7 horrible pain. Not a moment went by that didn't feel like my muscles wanted to rip off my bone. So now we're at a year past the accident. I have a cane. I can't walk upstairs without a railing and a cane. The doctor is amazing. Vail Summit Orthopedics is fantastic. He stuck with me. He's like, I have never seen this before. I don't know what's going on. So we kept fighting. My physical therapist was unbelievable. Would meet me at the gym afterwards when insurance wouldn't pay for it anymore. I decided I'm going to be my own hobby. All my money went into it when insurance wouldn't pay for it anymore. I'd come in with a new hat, like every day is so positive. Like, look, I have a choice. I choose to be happy. I choose to make this work. I choose to find answers. So anyway, year and a half later, I still cannot walk upstairs. We finally figure out I'm allergic to titanium. In a year and a half, doctors, and we went to other experts. They're like, this is just your life. I'm sorry. I was in so much pain. So Cunningham finally, my doctor, he was able to take it out. Literally, I felt better that night. And the whole time I just was praying to the universe. Like, if we figure this out, I'm going to go do Kilimanjaro again. I'm going to do Everest Base Camp again, and we'll see what's next. I got it out within 1 month. I could walk upstairs. Within 6 months, I did Everest Base Camp. And at that point, I was even stronger than I'd ever been mentally. So at that point, I was like, I'm going to do Aconcagua. Let's go try it. killed it.
So what did you in terms of the replacement from the titanium, what did you put in there?
So they don't have to put anything in. It held the bones together so it could regrow. It kept overgrowing.
Yeah.
So at that point, it's dangerous to chip through the bone and take it back out again. You can have complications, but they took it out, just the bone marrow. You have to wait for that to grow back in. It takes a few months.
Yeah.
But it had healed. But my body was fighting the titanium, which there's so little known about titanium allergies. It's such a great metal that it just didn't occur. And so it was just constant me being my own advocate, tenacious every month in there at the doctor's office again, like, hi, I'm still here. Not better. What do we do now? And just knowing that I would get through it and climb again. And after Aconcagua, I met a girl. It was her 7th summit. She was 29 years old. I was like, when did you do Everest?
Yeah.
She's lineage of Sir George Hillary. So it was a sponsor. I was like, oh, okay. She's like, how was Aconcagua? I said, it was fine. It was easy. She's like, you can do Everest. Go do Denali and then go to Everest. And so that's when I was like, I'm doing this.
All right. So how many mountains have you done?
So I've done 4. I got to make sure I'm right on this. Everest was going to be 5.
Okay. So you've done Kilimanjaro. You've done Aconcagua.
Elbrus.
Elbrus in Russia.
Yes. Which was, I call that the luxury one. And then it was delightful. And then, yes, I did Denali last July.
Okay. Yeah. Denali is an absolute bear and beast. I was up there 2018 in June. And we didn't get up in 2017 because of weather. And it's just one of those things where I'm so glad to have done it, to say I never have to go back, just because it's so unpredictable and everything in every way. You've got this really great, I think this is a quote, or if it's not a quote, I'm going to make it your quote, called fail and fall. But we have the choice to get back up and be positive. And that sounds exactly what you did. You fell on that snowboard in Vail, in that back bowl, very challenging time. And you know, only you know what that pain was to have gone through, to go through all those surgeries, to be walking with a cane, have that titanium in, causing all that different discomfort, and then having another surgery, ripping it out, and then trying to rebuild. And that's you. That's all you, you know. But to go in and take those things on, I think you do have to have that right kind of mindset, that mindset of positivity on that you're going to get there, even though you have all these setbacks, right? And that's where I think a lot of people sometimes give up. And that's where, you know, others like yourself keep going. It's just like, you know, it's a benchmark, but I'm going to keep going.
And that's something that I try to teach. I've been speaking to kids forever. Now I've really branched into the big people. But one thing I try to tell them, when you think about an entire mountain, it is overwhelming. You know how it is when you arrive. Remember, you fly over, you see Denali, you're like, wow, holy crap. But I teach people you need to bring it down, like you said, to that one step at a time. And when you are in the middle of it, like right now, what I'm trying to help friends with, if you start thinking about the trickle effect months down the road, you're going to get overwhelmed. You need to be concentrating on one step in front of the other and just keep moving forward. And if you can do that and you make that choice, I'm going to take another step. I'm going to take another step. You almost compartmentalize it into something that you can handle until you are more used to it. And then it becomes second nature to just keep moving. It's kind of like that crawl, walk, run.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And kind of that word that came to me when you said that was just being overwhelmed if you try to take this on. And so I think it's great to have big goals, and that's what really pushes you. And that's what helps sometimes, especially in my case, you know, emerge you out of a dark place, or from a place that you're stuck, you feel stuck in life. And that can really be the fuel to help with those big goals. But it's kind of like what we used to say back in football in the NFL, is it's just one game at a time, you know, one play at a time, one game at a time. And you can't be thinking about, you know, the Super Bowl and all these things, because that may never happen. You know, you just got to stay right in front of you. So let's get back to where we started the pod today. And I ask you about, you and I both got the news that they had shut down the south side of Mount Everest. They shut down the north side, which is Tibet, but controlled by China. I thought we still had a chance. And then Nepal ended up shutting their side down. So it was what it was. So now in terms of like resetting your mind towards next year, what are the things that you're doing towards that goal for next year, and how are it's just basically, you know, like what is the reset for you?
Yeah, no, that is such a great question. And hopefully the reset, we'll see how things go, but I already reset a bit and moved Carzon's Pyramid. And I can never say the point in Australia, Kosciuszko or whatever.
No, I've done it. You actually have to climb the mountain. It's called Mount Kosciuszko, and it's down the snowy mountains. And it seems like you can't say that mountain unless you've actually gone and done it. And then somehow or another, you're blessed by the Australians that you can actually.
You've heard it so much and you're good. Yes, correct. Yeah. Actually, Chicago was hard for a while too. But I'm going to do Carzon's Pyramid too. And so I will say, so I'm with Climbing the Seven Summits, and they have been so amazing through all of this. And so we pushed my Everest trip to next year.
So you're climbing with Mike Hamill of Climbing the Seven Summits?
With his company, yeah. Casey Grom, I think, but Mike Hamill's company, and again, they've been fantastic. So I'm signing on with him to do Carzon's Pyramid, hopefully this fall, if we can all get out.
Yeah.
So moving that into 2020, so I can keep on my path, and then we'll do Everest in 2021. And then after that, you know, I hope that following winter, then I can go down to Antarctica and do both Mount Vinson, and then also do the South Pole. We'll see where we are with hopefully, you know, sponsorship. That's another thing that was very, very hard. The hard part about what happened with Nepal being ripped out is I've been working so hard with a few companies trying to get sponsorship. And so, you know, a lot of, you know, athletes who, this is extremely expensive, you know this.
And, oh, well.
Yeah, and I'm lucky to have a great job and have afforded most of it, but now we're getting into a point where I think
it's really expensive.
Yeah, it's really expensive. Yeah. So I'd like to tell them. So anyway, you get to the point and a couple companies are like, you know what? We're on. So I've got product and we're like, get through Everest, and then we'll start talking, and then that all gets slowed down. But you know, I'll deal with that. It's what the universe brings you. So hopefully I'll be able to then go do South Pole and Antarctica, and then wrap it up with North Pole.
Yeah. I think each one of these things, you know, of, you know, you set goals, then there's setbacks. You know, I've done some mountains, I've got pushback. I thought was going here, then we got pushback because of the coronavirus, you know, all this stuff. And I've really changed my mindset to opportunities, right? So it's another opportunity to be bigger, faster, stronger, more knowledgeable with the mountain, you know. So it's kind of like, what can I do to make this a better situation? Yeah. And I think that translates over to people in their careers right now that might be in a situation where they're furloughed or laid off from their job or something. And I believe like, you know, things that you may want to do, like, what can you do to put yourself in the best position to merge out of it? And sometimes you have to pivot. I mean, I've had to reinvent myself multiple times. It sounds like you've done the same thing, right? And so when you take that pivot and you apply it towards something and give a stretch, understanding that things don't always come, you know, immediately. I mean, you're still on this quest to do this climbing goal, very similar to mine. And this whole quest for me started 8-9 years ago, and it keeps getting stretched out because of things that really are out of my control, you know, Mother Nature, right? And other things like that. And so when you start talking about going down to Carzon's Pyramid, so that's in Papua New Guinea. And that's a very exotic climb. I'm actually probably going to go down and do that as well. I've already done Kosciuszko, but when you're thinking about that, are you shifting like your workout schedules at all? Because the gyms are closed, and you and I are both sitting here in Southern California, so there's not there are mountains, but not really, you know, around us. I mean, how are you like reshifting the way you're trying to stay, you know, fit and mentally sharp as you've had to reset everything?
You know, so yeah, that's a great question. For the first couple of weeks of lockdown, I literally was running myself like you'd take a puppy lab out, because I was so trained up for Everest. I had so much energy that I had to run it off. But now I've switched. I think I was telling you earlier, I made my little home studio. There, we are all so busy, and there are things I've really wanted to devote into. And right now I've shifted into some really amazing yoga and Pilates and body strength against body strength and finding levels of strength like I had not found in the gym. I'm really digging into that. I can still down in Orange County, I'm doing some solo mountain biking, just hard climbs, straight up, straight down. Cool. Not technical, but really just keeping the lungs and legs in shape, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of at-home fitness, I think, that you can do to keep stimulated. And hopefully you can still go run and maybe hit a trail by yourself. I know in other states, people can definitely still do that. But also, I think this is always good mental training too, because you know this, you are almost in isolation. You are in long periods of time of downtime waiting. I think this is the perfect time to strengthen mentally. And being able to deal with strife issues, you know, in mountaineering or expeditions there, when things happen bad, they go quick and you need to be able to respond quickly. You need to rest mentally. So I think this is a good time to mentally rest. As far as Karzant's pyramid, I will say the thing that I, probably have the least, I was a trekker that became a mountaineer, not a rock climber that became a climbing mountaineer. I've been trying to beef up those skills before Everest. I've done some great like ice climbing and joined a climbing gym, but we can't go there now. Yeah. So another thing I've been doing is I'm actually watching great YouTube videos on a lot of theory and technique and actually just, you know, trying to mentally learn in theory and practicing my knots and you know, just try to keep mentally strong.
Yeah, I love that. I've had to be, like all of us, be very creative. I'm a Peloton member, and they've come up with these, my Peloton is actually in Sun Valley, Idaho. Once you're in there, they've got all these other programs on there. And one of them is outdoors. And so there's like a running trainer, like, so I'm doing interval sprints. I mean, I'm just, you know, mixing up the workouts, and I'm just trying to reset my mind, my body, my soul, until I get back in a couple months to Sun Valley where I'm, you know, I live at the base of the mountain. And so it just, you know, when you live at 6,000 feet and you can train, as you know, cause you are back and forth, it sounds like to Vail, you know, it's just a environment that is very conducive to the type of things that you and I like to do. So much of it. So let me ask you this question. I want to go back to grit because I don't think we really define that. Let's get into your career really quickly. So you're a trained rocket scientist. And so does that mean that, you know, you're planning missions to Mars or something, or you're building literally rockets that go up to space? Are you still doing that? And then I want to transition that question into, how is grit in terms of a business fill your life?
Okay, so I will say right now, I'm currently working on military fighter jets. My past career, I definitely worked on Titan and Atlas rockets. And then most of my career, I spent developing a spacecraft survivability for manned spaceflight for Lockheed Martin and NASA. That is, and I loved it. It was fantastic. I had an independent research and development contract with NASA. But that's when I had my accident. And I was actually knocked out of work for 3 to 4 months. Couldn't even go back. And then it was halftime. And if you're not there to do the work, you kind of lose your funding. And I made the decision. I actually had to take a year off to try to get my leg back. And I took a shift and I actually went and worked. I wanted to live in Vail full time. And so I worked for a lot of software companies out of Silicon Valley, doing project management implementations for huge projects. And that was great. That gave me some great experience. And then it got to the point where I really missed aerospace. So I was given an opportunity out here in California to work on fighter jets, which is always cool. And so I'm doing that right now. Grit started really after my accident. And then I started talking to kids and other patients going through rehab. A lot of athletes going through rehab were having a really hard time struggling with it. And everyone just kept telling me, I have grit, I have grit, I have grit. And so I kind of looked it up and saw what it is. So then I started forming, when I talked to kids, what does grit mean to me? And so I came up with the acronym. And then I've been really serious about it probably for the last year and a half, 2 years. And really starting to build out a platform. and really speaking about it, because I think that I really have identified five tools that will help you build who you are, make, you know, take control over what you can in your life and reach your full potential, not hidden by fear, not afraid, to really live authentically who you are and build up the strength to carry that through. And I have goosebumps right now, and I tear up every time I talk to people, because so many people are missing that. There's so much that they want to do. There's so much they see in themselves, but they do not have, they haven't developed the strength to push through it no matter what. And every little challenge you take on, it almost like spirals you up. It just builds that confidence until you get to the point. I'd say with me, at this point, like when a challenge comes on, I recognize it right away. I'm like, all right, giddy up. Here we go. Let's get through this one. And it becomes, you know, I like to say we are in such uncertain times right now, and it can be very frightening. But I am certain that I will come out of this stronger and better. And that is what I want to help people feel like and give them the tools to do that.
Yeah, I really believe it's stepping into the fear. I talk about this a lot, and I take that from my own standpoint, because it's all the things that typically hold you back because of that word fear, that don't allow you to go out and pursue the dreams that you've had, you know, probably from a little kid. And when you go do something that's a super stretch and you jump out of a plane, or and it doesn't have to always be about that, you know, climb a mountain. It just has to be something that makes you uncomfortable. And then when you go through the steps, as you were talking about, through your grit, through the pyramid of success, you know, whatever you want to talk about, how you get there, but they're all steps. And in order to get there and really understand those steps, you have to love the process, because if you don't, you're going to quit. And that's the whole point about, you know, when you get in the mountains, especially, you can't quit, right? It gets hard. And there's times when Mother Nature forces you to turn around, but you got to be resilient to come back. And the last word in your grit acronym spelling, again, it goes back to tenacity. And I love that word, because, you know, when you have tenacity, you know, I think of a lion, and a lion is just, you know, that the tenacity of a lion of just no matter what, rawr, you know, you're going to just be on it, and you're going to go after something. You're not going to quit. You're going to have negative Nellies around you, and you got to figure out by putting positive voices in your head and going through these steps that you were just talking about, that's going to advance you and accelerate you to whatever you want to do in life. And it can all happen. It doesn't mean that, you know, a lot of the stuff that I've done, There haven't been any financial rewards for me. It's cost me a ton of money, right? And that's what it's done. But the experiences that I've gotten out of life and the gifts that have come back to me in so many different ways have been something I could have never, ever, ever thought about when I was so focused on me and just what I was trying to achieve in terms of a big stretch and a big goal.
Yeah. And there's so many great parallels with hiking a mountain, with so much of what you want to do. It's also like, you can't fake it. You can't have someone else do it for you. You need to have put in the time and the work and be prepared. And that's like other things in your life. And again, I love that analogy, because it is one step at a time, and you are going to fall down and you need to get back up, and you grow that deeper person, because in the breaking, we find out who we are, and we are given the opportunity to get back up and be stronger. And so I'm grateful for when I am broken. I'm grateful for when I get knocked down to my knees, and because I know that I've got the choice right now to get back up, and it is like that mountain. And I think for mountaineering too, I feel so myself there. And I think it's a place that's an equalizer on that mountain, and you are working as a team and you're working together, and you earn your respect for what you're doing, and no one can take that away from you, and no one can deny it. You know, I like to say to people, like, I show up at a job in engineering, I show up on a mountain. I'm sure I probably get the same response every time, like, oh yeah, like she can do this. But in engineering, it's hard. You have haters, you have different things. They can say whatever they want to say of why I am where I am. on a mountain, no matter what you think about me day one, every day I'm in there, I'm tenacious. I'm doing it. I'm killing it. I'm putting in what I need. I've done the work. And you can't deny that being on a trek with that person. You can't take that away from them because you see it. Because they're not going to make it up the hill if they're not doing the work and they're not authentic. So I just love that analogy too. It's just such an amazing equalizer.
Yeah, what I've found is when everybody lands in whatever region of the world that you're going to have your plan climb, and now you're sitting there with 10, 12 folks, and everybody has been, you know, bring a certain amount of ego to the table, and you're sitting around the night before and having a beer and having dinner. And then ultimately, you know, you come together and you go, okay, it's time to start climbing. And usually all that sorts out, like who the real personalities are. And, you know, within a few days, you kind of see, that always makes. Okay. So where can people find you to be inspired and get more grit in their life?
That is awesome. I, one of my little projects during quarantine time was to go and buy my .com, which was a process. I was .org. So where I'm going to be is www.grit, which is GGRIT.com or .org, either one.
Yep. Okay. Awesome. Well, listen.
Oh, sorry. Link to Instagram and everything else on there.
Sweet, sweet. I so appreciate you coming on the pod today, and I'm really excited and look forward to watching you train for the next now 12 months ish, maybe a little bit less at this point.
And then
connecting with you at the Everest Base Camp. So it'll be a lot of fun. And we can do another pod at Everest Base Camp next year.
We'll do Himalaya Tea Time podcast.
We can drink a lot of tea. I've never had a cup of coffee in my life, if you can believe that. So
The Himalayan
tea time, I am totally in for. So on that note, Megan, thank you so much for coming on the pod, and appreciate it so much.
For chatting.
Right on. Take care.
Take care. Thanks.
Hey, and thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Summit podcast. We are so glad to have you along for this journey. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, share it on iTunes, spread it to the planet. We're looking to broadcast this to every person that is out there because, as you know, everybody has their own summit that they're going after. Okay, if you're looking to follow my journey, you can find that through my social links on markpattisonnfl.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, NFL.com. So, until the next podcast, just remember, clear eyes, full hearts, and remember, it takes a little more to make a champion, so make it happen. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.